We are doing the Rambam in the introduction to Sefer Mitzvot. And after we had read the Ramban's introduction, the Ramban discussion of how do we ever get this number 613 anyways? Who says everyone agrees to it? And the Ramban illustrated from many sources that it's a given throughout the Midrashim and in Shas that the number is 613. However they got there is a different question. But at the end of the day, the number is 613. And then the Ramban is going to, what we saw, the Ramban had begun taking the Rambam's points and refuting them, right? The Rambam had said, how could you enumerate rabbinic mitzvot? When the Shas says that the Jewish people were given 613 mitzvot at Sinai, right? So he says, firstly, who said that's what Baal Halachas Gedolah said? There's a different version in the Gemara in which it says the Jewish people have 613 mitzvot. We're up to page Beis, page 3 in the standard editions. And then he said, yeah, you do, keep going forward. And then he said, and I will give three reasons why what Baal Halachas Gedolah did to enumerate rabbinic mitzvot is legitimate, even if we were to work with the Rambam's version of the Talmud, that the Talmud says that 613 mitzvot were given at Sinai. Even if we were to go with that version, I will give three reasons why it is perfectly legitimate to enumerate rabbinic mitzvot within the enumeration of the biblical mitzvot. And the Ramban had said, reason number one is because whenever our sages want to strengthen something rabbinic, they say the Torah says, or God said. They don't mean it's biblical. And he brought examples. He said the prayer of Rosh Hashanah, which the Gemara clearly says is rabbinic, and yet the Talmud says, why did God tell us to say this prayer in this fashion? God didn't tell us to do it. It's not biblical. He said, yeah, but the rabbis frequently will use that terminology, and they don't really mean that it's biblical. He said it about Nisa Hamayim. So he said, there are many places where we find Chazal discussing God said so, and they don't mean literally that it's biblical, really it is rabbinic. The second point, why would it be legitimate to enumerate rabbinic mitzvot within the 613, even if the Gemara had said 613 mitzvot were given at Sinai, and we're two lines from the bottom in the Ramban, where you have the Beis in brackets and the Dalet in parentheses, Ve'hasheni. And the second reason why it would be legitimate to do so, you have it? Kiminhag chachamim b'talmud, because the way Chazal worked it in the Talmud, v'gam b'torah v'nevi'im, and that we find the same concept in Torah and in prophets, kein, that is their custom, shelo yachushu lo'tzi davar chad min haklal ve'idabru al harov. When they speak about the general term. If they say, you know, there are 100 male students in the yeshiva. If there's one woman, they don't mind. You'll say, but there aren't 100 males. Right, they speak about the general populace, and if you have one or two that don't fit into that terminology, that doesn't bother them. And we find it in Tanakh, we find it in Chazal, and the Ramban will illustrate, and will bring a Talmud Yerushalmi that says it explicitly. So let's see. Kenyan Shekatub, like the Pasuk says, Hey, Levnei Yaakov, we turn the page, Asher yulad lo befadan aram. The Pasuk says, the following are the children of Yaakov that were born to him in Padan Aram. Ve'inei chashav Binyamin. And then the Pasuk goes on to enumerate his children, amongst which the Pasuk enumerates Binyamin. Ve'lo nolad befadan aram. Binyamin wasn't born in Padan Aram. The Pasuk introduces the enumeration saying, the following are the children that Yaakov had in Padan Aram. It enumerates all of them, one of which is Binyamin. Binyamin wasn't born in Padan Aram. Rak al harov yedaber, but when the verse says the following are the children who were born in Padan Aram, it means in general the majority were born there. But if you have a few exceptions, that doesn't bother the Torah. Pretty strong proof, right? V'chin, and so too we find when the Torah lists Yaakov's 70 children, it says kol hanefesh habal Yaakov mitzrayma 70 nafesh. All these people came with Jacob to Egypt. They number 70. And included in the enumeration were Ephraim and Menashe. V'hine Ephraim u'Menashe lo ba'u li'Yaakov mitzrayma. They didn't come with Yaakov down to Egypt. Gam Yosef Shamaya. Yosef also was in Egypt. So three out of the 70 did not come down to Egypt. And yet the Pasuk says, these are the people who came down with Yaakov to Egypt. So you see, the Pasuk is speaking about the masses. There are a few exceptions. V'chen, and so too, the Pasuk says, Eile b'nei Adah. The Pasuk enumerates the following are the children of Adah, V'aya, V'anat, etc., etc., etc. And then enumerates Amalek. The Amalek Enobna, Amalek is not one of Adah's children. It enumerated people who lived in a certain area, but it enumerated one who wasn't really her son. V'chen, and so too, U'moshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim 30 shana v'abamot shana. It says the Jews lived in Egypt 430 years. And really, that enumeration of 430 years is an enumeration that begins from the time that Avram left the land of Canaan the first time. And it's really an enumeration of the years in which we didn't have our home territory till we left Egypt. It's in the land of Egypt, it's in Philistine territory, it's in Canaan, it's in many lands. The Pasuk says that we lived in Egypt 430 years. No, we didn't. We lived much less than 430 years. But the Pasuk means we were in exile 430 years. The majority of those years were in Egypt. So the Pasuk attributes all the years to Egypt. The Pasuk goes by the majority. Rakikar ha-moshav, but the primary place that we lived was Be'eretz Mitzrayim haya. V'chen b'sefer Ezra, the same concept we find in the book of Ezra, b'minyan she'amar ha-katuv v'olei gola, when the Pasuk enumerates the people who came up from exile. V'yakumu Moshe avot li'Yudah v'Binyamin, it says that they arose the heads of the tribes of Yudah and Binyamin, v'chtuv od, v'yashuvu li'Yerushalayim, v'Yudah ish li'Yiro, they returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each person to their city, we're up to the first white line. U'munesham Yudah v'Binyamin v'kohanim v'levi'im v'ntinim, and it introduces it as these are the people of Yehuda and Binyamin. And then the Pasuk goes on to enumerate the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin and Kohanim and Levim and Netinim and Vnei Avdei Shlomo, the sons of the slaves of Shlomo. So the Pasuk means the majority of the people are from Yehuda and Binyamin, but the Pasuk doesn't mind enumerating a few who are not.
Right.
So, Bekatu b'chal misparam, and then after their enumeration, the Pasuk says, everyone together was 400,360.
Not exactly. 42,360, that's what it lists in 250s, whatever.
ribo is 1,000, right? Arba ribo alafim is 4,000.
Well, that's 4 million. It's 42,000. I mean, that's what it lists.
Okay.
For no particular reason, they just gave that number. Maybe that's wrong.
I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to.
I'm looking at Ezra 2:53.
Yeah. So maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe the alafim here is superfluous or the ribo. I don't know.
Ten minutes?
Yeah.
Five.
When you look at their exact enumeration, you have 30,000 and 12,000, 42,000, like you said. I'm sorry, they're 30,000. Where are the 12,000 we're missing? That's the 42,000. When the Pasuk says they enumerated 42,000, well, 12,000 were from the other tribes. The Pasuk doesn't bother mentioning who they were, lemiutan, because they were small in number, mikol shevet, from each tribe. So they were like adjuncts to these. So you see, the Pasuk says the 42,000 were from the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin. Were all of them from the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin? No. 12,000 were not from the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin. So the Ramban says, you find, now the Ramban brought many proofs, you find in Tanakh, sometimes the Pasuk says a number, and the Pasuk doesn't mean that every specific instance fits into the criterion, it means in general, this is the description of this number. So too, he says, if Chazal tell us 613 mitzvos were given at Sinai, could be what Chazal meant, is most of these mitzvot were at Sinai. Some of them were rabbinic. This claim that the Rambam makes, that it's impossible to enumerate a rabbinic mitzvah because it says 613 mitzvot were given at Sinai, the Ramban says, you see, in Tanakh, it's clear that sometimes the psukim speak in a general sense. And in the words of our sages, we find it plenty throughout the Talmud. On the bottom line, I'll show you two parshiyos in the Torah that have many mitzvos. These two parshiyos were not said to Moshe at Sinai, but rather they were said to Aaron. And they weren't even said at Sinai. They were said to Aaron and not at Sinai. And yet, we enumerate those mitzvot. According to the Rambam, how do you enumerate those mitzvot? What are we referring to? Parshat Shtuye Yayin, where the Torah says that a Kohen who had drank wine may not serve in the temple. Uparshat Mishmeret Kuna V'Leviyamot Not Kuna, and the parsha of the watchings of the Kohanim, the Levim, and the gifts that the Kohanim are given. And now the Ramban reverses the attack. He says, according to you, Rambam, why do you count them? The Rambam didn't seem to be bothered to take them out of the 613. According to the Rambam, if we take the statement of the Talmud literally, 613 mitzvot were given to Moshe at Sinai, well then how do you enumerate these two mitzvot? We have on tradition they were not said at Sinai, they were said to Aaron at specific times. Umitzvot rabot lo nemru b'Sinai ela b'shat maaseh, and many mitzvot were not said at Sinai, but rather when something happened. Kegon din mekoshesh, like the laws of the person who was caught desecrating the Shabbos. Uvnot tzlochad, and the whole laws of the daughters of tzlochad, which were said at the end of the 40 years, they weren't said at Sinai. Velo chashashu lekach, and that didn't bother anyone. And regarding this concept, and this is quite possibly the Ramban's strongest proof, regarding this concept, the Talmud of the West, the Talmud of the Jerusalem Talmud, says in the first chapter of Rosh Hashanah, Le'inyan Shnei Malchuto Shel David, regarding the years that David reigned. So the verses seem to be contradictory. One verse says that he ruled in Hebron for 7 years and in Jerusalem for 33 years, and the other verses seem to give different numbers. So the question is, how many years was it? And one place says he ruled all 40 years. Let's see. So Yehuda Berebi Omer Cheshbon Merube Bolea Cheshbon Mu'at, the big number swallows the small number. So if we say he ruled all 40 years in Jerusalem, and in another place it says 33 were in Jerusalem and 7 were in Hebron, that's not a contradiction, because the big number encompasses the smaller number. Sometimes we don't go into details. We say a big number and really we mean most of the big number. So that's an overt reference by the Talmud that we sometimes round it out. We don't go into the details, right? So these were the Ramban's proofs that in Tanakh and our sages, in many instances, they could say a general term, and they don't mean that all the specifics are applied exactly. And so, if Chazal said 613 mitzvot were given at Sinai, it's very possible that Chazal meant 613 mitzvot were given at Sinai. Well, most of them were given at Sinai, and maybe 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 were rabbinic, and that wouldn't bother us. So that's the Ramban's second proof against the Rambam, where the Ramban says there's nothing wrong with enumerating rabbinic mitzvot among the 613, and the Ramban with this second proof is also knocking off the Ramban's claim against Baal Halachos Gedolos. And to an extent the Ramban reverses the attack and says, well, according to you, Rambam, how do you enumerate the mitzvot that were given in other locations other than Sinai, if we are to take these psukim literally? And Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow night we'll pick up with the Ramban's third reason as to why it is possible to enumerate rabbinic mitzvot among the 613.
But is there any statement somewhere that says why they do this rounding in the Torah? I mean, obviously the Torah is one thing, but
it's worth seeing the commentaries there. It's worth seeing the commentaries in Rosh Hashanah. Meaning not everyone learns the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah the way they're on Bande. the words cheshbon gadol, cheshbon meruve boleh cheshbon muat, it's not clear what the Talmud meant there. There are different opinions that explain it differently. We're working to understand the Ramban, but if you open up the Yerushalmi over there, you'll see that the commentaries don't all go with the Ramban.